Blog Talk Radio.
Folks, we can sing this song. Don't get mad, I don't mean no harm. I want to play with school. I want to play with school. I want to play with school. I mean your little fool dog. Yeah, that little fool got a long shaggy tail. While I tried to buy my buddy, wasn't for sale. Can I play with school? Can I play with school? I want to play with school. I mean your little fool dog. Down in town with my hand in my hand, I was looking for a woman, didn't have no man. I want to play with school. I want to play with school. I want to play with school. I mean a little fool.
Yes. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Puck Chatter Radio, the official online audio program of thethirdmanin.com, puckchatter.com. I am Chris Block. Welcome to the show. Here on this Wednesday night, September the 11th, 2013, 8:01, here in Chicago, I believe Superstar is on the line. How you doing tonight, Superstar?
I am outstanding. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm tired, man. Tired. I don't know, man. We'll make it through this somehow. We'll get there. I don't know. I spent all weekend working with my father. We were painting. You know my father, right?
Yeah, I do.
My father's a very. You know, I can say this because I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen to this. I'm almost positive he doesn't listen to this. I mean, I know that he listens when we have old Blackhawks on, but that's about it. My father, who's responsible for me even liking hockey to begin with, but we were painting my office at work, and it's a big office, and it's a lot of floor space and room and walls and all that. So I don't even want to count how many hours I spent with my father over the weekend. It's basically all day and all night, and I'm really only there to blame for stuff. I think that's why I'm there. Like I'll be in a room doing something, and all of a sudden it's just like I get blamed for something that I didn't have anything to do with. It's a little aggravating, but then at the end of the day, he's best friends with you again. And he wants to go out for dinner.
That definitely sounds exactly like your dad.
11 o'clock at Giordano's. That's where he went on Sunday night. Where he wants to go. But and then this week it's crazy. I'm working. We got a lot of people like left, you know, for school and for other jobs. And we got people off work this week. So it's like every day I'm getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to the loop to work from 4 to 8, and then in the one office, and then I got to go to the other office. It's a pain in the ass, but other than that, I'm doing great.
It sounds like you are handling it in stride.
I feel good. Barely. I'm not complaining about it. It's fun. Oh, another thing that's fun is the Blackhawks, they reported to the United Center today for physicals. Checking their physical fitness level. Joe Quenneville says he's never seen a better, a more physically conditioned team. I call BS. These guys, you know, they're saying all the right things, Superstar. Like, I saw some of the quotes today, and they're like, yeah, we're ready to go. We with the condensed, they're like referencing the condensed schedule, and you know, they'll have a deep team this year and all this kind of stuff. And they're, they're talking about like, oh, yeah, we're ready to go. This is no big deal. You know that every single one of those guys in that team wishes that they had at least three more weeks off. Which if there wasn't a lockout, that's what they would have. They would have had like a month, basically. They would have had an extra month. You know these guys are gritting teeth. I mean, they may like mentally have convinced themselves that they're ready to go now, but wait till late October. But anyway, training camp opens tomorrow in South Bend, Indiana, campus of the University of Notre Dame. I'm not going.
Too busy.
Working from 4 a.m. to 6 every day, p.m. every day. And then I come and do this thing. On the show tonight, we're going to do some more listener emails. That should be fun. We didn't do any. We actually didn't do any. I in the gym the other night, I listened to last week's show because I wanted – I didn't even – like when I posted it on the website last week, I didn't even listen to see if the first – for those of you that – because we didn't – I kind of referenced it, but I didn't explain. Last week when we started the show, my equipment was not working properly. So, like, for people that may have tuned in live last week, a handful of you that actually there was like 12 of you. I get the breakdown. So I'm very impressed that 12 people. I didn't ever mention that we were doing a show, but yet they somehow knew. But anyway. So, maybe I did mention, I don't remember. But the point of all this, we got to get this over with because I got to go to bed. But we didn't start the show until like 10 minutes after 8 last week when we were supposed to start it at 8. And I went, and when I was in the gym, I'm like, you know what, let me download it on iTunes and see. That's another thing you can do I never mention is that this show is available for free if you just subscribe on iTunes. If you go into the podcast section of iTunes and search for The Third Man In or Puck Chatter Radio, but I believe it's still Third Man In over there, you get us and you can subscribe, and each week, boom, it's just downloaded immediately. I believe that's how it works. I haven't had an iPod in years, and I don't own anything Apple, and I'm very proud of it. But
you're a better man for it.
I am a better man for it. All these hipsters out there, superstar. Don't fall for it.
More and more every day, man. More and more every day.
Anyway, so I listened to the show, and no, it just picked up right from where we started. Thank God. Because I never thought, shit, I got to go on and erase the first 10 minutes of dead air. And no, there was no dead air. It's just so. Log Talk is better than I think. We got, well, first of all, before we go any further, we got a couple of announcements to make. First of all, I waited all the way till the end of last week's show to announce this, and I'm going to do it up front this week. And we will be a weekly show from this point forward, fingers crossed. As long as I don't work with my father anymore, we'll be a weekly show. I don't know if they let you do podcasts from prison. The Third Man In Fantasy Hockey League. We've had over the summer, we had people that asked, and we even read an email over the summer that when we did that show. Here's the deal: if you missed last week's show, or you didn't hang in there to the end, or you know you turned us off when the Metro left you off and you never came back, at the end of the show we mentioned this. We'll mention it up front this week. If you want to be involved in the Third Man In Fantasy Hockey League, which means that you get to interact and whip our asses in fantasy hockey every single week, or most weeks, superstar more so than me. You have a limited amount of time. The window is expiring, closing, whatever. You want to be involved in that. And again, this is for people that are actually are going to play, like set their lineups every week and all of that. I don't care if you're there for the live draft. That doesn't matter. You can have your team auto picked. It's, you know, could preset your rankings before. So if you absolutely could not stand to have Pavel Datsyuk on your team, you can exclude him from your rankings, and the computer will not pick him for it. So it's not necessary that you have to be there for the live draft. It's all on the internet. But if you want to be in this, you got to email me, chrisblock@thethirdmanin.com or puckchatter@gmail.com. Do it very soon, because we have two leagues that look like they're going to be full. We're probably going to open up a third, but I got to make that decision here in the next few days. So if we get enough, then I'll open up a third. If not, we'll just go with two. But again, chrisblock@thethirdmanin.com, puckchatter@gmail.com. And in the subject line, say fantasy hockey, just drop me a little note saying that you want to be involved, and I will send you an invite. There's that. Secondly, superstar. This is where you come into play more so.
Uh-oh.
I know we have a lot of people out on the West Coast that listen in the Southern California region. Big news, and I'd like to share it with the people. This coming February, thethirdmanin.com is going to be mobile, live on location in sunny Southern California. Superstar, you know this, right?
Oh, no. This is bad, people.
Well, here's the deal. I know we got a lot of people in the L.A. area that listen. I know it's the Fox Network and a lot of other things, and people that I've met before on my trips out there. But we, as it were to be, the NHL scheduled the Blackhawks' one and only visit to Los Angeles and Staples Center this year, the day after the Super Bowl. Now, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that every year, myself and Superstar is among the group, or in the group, we spend every year in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl. So what we're going to do is on Monday morning, the day after the Super Bowl, we will hop in a car and drive down to L.A. And we will then spend the entire day, obviously, in L.A. We're going to go to the Blackhawks, L.A. Kings game that night at Staples Center. Then we're going to go out. We're going to dance all night. We're going to stay a little longer. But in the course of all of this, if anybody wants to come out and hang out with us, I know that before the game, the name of the bar escapes me, but it's an Irish bar on Figueroa and 9th Street. It's two blocks, not even, from Staples Center. That's where we'll be, from probably 4 until 6. The Tavern, I think is what it's called. Riordan's? I think that's what it's called. It's the bar at Figueroa and 9th. And then afterwards, we'll probably go to the Golden Gopher, which is on 8th Street, which is all that not far after that. And then we'll be at the Golden Gopher for a little while, and then we'll head over to West Hollywood. Does that sound good, Superstar?
Hey, man, sounds like a plan to me.
But the point of this is, if you want to meet up or hang out or come, say hi, I'll buy you some beers. You can buy Superstar some beers, because I'm not buying him any more beers. And, we'll hang out. It'll be fun, I think.
We hope.
I'm excited. Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm really, really forward to it. I mean, I've been to the Staples Center, but it was not for a Hawks game, but that was, I think, the first year that it opened. So, and it was a quick trip in and out. We didn't, check out the surrounding, areas, the bars or anything. We were in and out. So I'm really looking forward to it. And you had that portion of a trip on top of 4 days in Vegas, and look out.
One note, though, Superstar does not do flash photography. There's
I can
be
convinced, depending on how much beer is bought.
I, on the other hand, am ridiculously photogenic, and I will take all the pictures that you want, if you're into that sort of thing. But, yeah, we will be out there. So come out and say hello, whether it's at the Staples Center or if you want to meet up at the bars before or after, or you want to hang out with us all night and see what kind of shenanigans we we bring or our group brings. I'm not sure. I mean, I know some of the people that we'll be with, and I'm not sure the whole crowd, but it will be an event. So look into that. Third thing and last thing before we move on here that I gotta mention, the thirdmanin.com is looking for writers. I can't do this thing all by myself. I can barely do the thing at all. Brad Gardner, who we had on the show over the summer, who was doing recaps for us very well, was very happy all the time with Brad and the things that he contributed to the site. Brad, unfortunately, he was in college and now he's working and he's got more and more responsibilities at work. So his main thing is working over there at hockeysfuture.com. I always get that wrong, but hockeysfuture.com. And so that's his main gig and that's manageable for him, and to add, doing stuff for me. And for the readers of the thirdmanin.com, puckshatter.com, is just a little bit too much to ask, and I definitely understand that. So if anybody's interested in doing that, I will say this. It is primarily writing recaps, and you'll be probably in a rotation with myself and one or two other people. But if your idea of a recap is to say, hey, the Blackhawks won 4-1 last night, and you guys all saw the game, so let's get to the bullets. If that's your idea of a game recap, do not contact me. Because if you ever did that for me, I would find you. Wherever you are in the continental United States, Canada, wherever you are in North America, I would find you and I would strangle you. If you want to write game recaps, you write game recaps. And if not, then write for somebody else. But that's sort of the deal there. I'm really a nice person. I'm not really. How do I say this? You wouldn't know this by it's like, oh, this guy is, talks on the internet or whatever. I'm not that talkative of a person, am I?
Not normally. I mean, you get a few beverages in you, and you get a little chatty sometimes. But for the most part, no, not really at all.
Yeah, and I'm not that intimidating.
Not at all. That you are not.
But anyway, yeah. If we have people that are interested in doing that, which is actually recapping the game and telling the people who did not see the game. What happened in the game, which is the whole idea of a game recap, then email me about that, too, at those emails that I mentioned before. We talked last week on the show about doing – this is where you come in here, Superstar. I know that you emailed me a couple times today. I was too busy to respond to you. But each week on the show, what we're going to do is we're going to take, whether it's articles or things that we cite from – the land of the internet, and talk about them here on the show. So, why don't you start with what you got there?
Well, the first one is a little bit on the lighter side. This comes courtesy of Deadspin, and Black. I don't, this will pretty much speak for itself as far as why it kind of jumped out off the page. Title of the piece, Leafs fan allegedly exposed himself while wearing a jersey with his name on it. Now, I mean, this sounds like something you would do.
I was going to say, I have done that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wearing a jersey probably would be... Yeah,
it's one reason why I don't wear hockey jerseys anymore.
Yeah. Nardio Schmale of Toronto was arrested Monday and charged with indecent exposure after allegedly rubbing against, then exposing himself to two groups of women in a subway station. The master criminal two different groups. So, I mean, this isn't just a one-off. The master criminal wore a Leafs sweater with his first name on the back. And they go on to quote the Toronto Star. And it says, a fan approached a group of women at 2:35 p.m. So this is during the day. This isn't even, 2:30 in the morning when this is, that's your time to do it. This is 2:30 in Monday in the afternoon at the Kennedy TTC station. Brushed up against them, then sat down on a bench behind them, and allegedly committed what police simply call an indecent act. Editor's note, masturbating. He allegedly brushed up against a second group of females at the TTC stop. So, blocks, stay off public transportation in the Toronto area for a while.
Sorry, I just had a big problem there. Did you say allegedly masturbating?
Well, it kind of comes in and it says, editor's note, in parentheses, masturbating, after the police called it an indecent act.
Well, you're married. You're probably alleged to be masturbating all the time.
Well, that may be, but I don't do it at the Irving Park Blue Line stop.
Give it a try. Just don't wear your, do you have a personalized Blackhawks jersey?
I do not.
Oh, that's right. That would be a jersey foul. Okay.
I'll borrow yours. I'll borrow your jersey so everyone thinks I'm you.
Go for it. Our physical descriptions do not match up at all. You can go for it.
It blew my mind when I reread it and it was at 2:35 p.m. on a Monday. First of all, doesn't this guy have a job?
Hey, we've been in Toronto drinking at 2:30 on a, it wasn't Monday, it was Thursday, but we're from out of town.
That's true. You know what? I'm trying to pull it up. Do you have one that you found over the week?
Well, you know what? I wanted to kind of, again, we're kind of pressed for time again tonight, but there was something that I kept reading over the past couple of days, and this isn't about a particular article, but I'll cite one here. And here we are with this thing, with the Blackhawks. They've won a couple of Stanley Cups, and yeah, that's. I mean, I'm not trying to trivialize it. It's awesome, and the organization's tremendously successful, and that's great. It's great to see. However, it's like we're hearing and you're reading this thing now, and I've been hearing it for a year or so. But the Blackhawks are really trying to push this thing now where there's this – it's called the Blackhawks way of doing things, or the Blackhawks way of operating. And, what is the Blackhawks way? I guess you'd have to get one of them, on here to explain it to you. And even if you asked them, I'm sure they wouldn't be able to. But, it's one of those things where – now that they have this level of success, they're trying to define it as something more than what it is, which is, you got you drafted high in the first round a number of years in a row. You struck gold in 2006 and 07, as it turned out, and you had a good solid foundation coming up while that was going on. And then the thing really took off from there. You know, we talked a lot about the perfect storm, and a lot of things fell into place, and that's great. But now it's like these guys, they got too much time on their hands, and they're really feeling good about themselves, are going to sit around and try to say, well, you know, that there's more to it than that, than what's going on the ice, that there's this Blackhawks way of doing things. Like the 2010 Blackhawks, you know, exhibited the Blackhawks way of doing things, professionalism. And what no one will say is that, you know, there were people in the Blackhawks that it was rough to do at the time, but what the 2010 salary cap crunch per se gave the Blackhawks an opportunity to do was get rid of players who they felt weren't professional. And you know, I mean, obviously, you know, the guys are gone. And I would say probably with the exception of Andrew Ladd and Brent Sopel, who was just sort of a guy that you could consider expendable at the time. Those other guys that they got rid of, they were probably happy to get rid of for one reason or another. And you've seen those players that have gone on and haven't really achieved success. Some limited personal success, but not achieved success anywhere else. But it's not like they brought the Blackhawks down, or the Blackhawks were unable to win a Stanley Cup because they had Chris Versteeg and Adam Burrish and Dustin Byfuglien on their team. But those are the guys that wouldn't necessarily fall into that definition of, you know, Troy Brouwer being in that Blackhawks way of doing things. Standing on the bar at 4 a.m., the morning of a practice. That's something that, you know, and Patrick Kane was doing it too, but, I mean, the cap crunch allowed those guys to get rid of. So my point is, like, this Blackhawks way of doing things, it's so pious that they're going to try to say, like, oh, it's like the Blackhawks are trying to tell you that they've figured out something that the 80 teams that won a Stanley Cup before them couldn't figure out themselves, right? I mean, come on. But, I want to mention this one. So Corey Crawford, we talked about him last week, and his contract, and really, you know, it's kind of uneasy to think about that 6 years, $36 million, and that contract doesn't start again for another year, and you know how goalies are. Not really myself having the opinion that I didn't really like that contract. Well, I do want to bring up something that that Stan Bowman said this week that I agree with, and I think that you have to take into consideration when giving Corey Crawford a long term contract, even though I still disagree with it. But it's Bob Verdi actually said it, but it's from the conversation that he had with Stan Bowman. This is Bob Verdi. Crawford's demeanor is a significant factor in the locker room dynamic. Without fail, he sits or stands before a stall after every game, win or lose, answering questions from the media. He dodges nothing, including cross-examination of goals to his glove side, a storyline midway through the Stanley Cup final. Every goal is his fault, even if the results from a defensive lapse takes a quirky deflection off an opponent's gluteus maximus. Ass. Crawford is a modern-day incarnation of Tony Esposito, a Blackhawks Hall of Famer who accepted blame for every red light, even when it required selective amnesia. That's Bob Verdi. That's important, you know, and putting the money aside, that really is important because, as we know, and we've talked about through the years on this show, there are guys and Duncan Keith was one of the biggest offenders that couldn't be found after a loss in the Blackhawks locker room. They weren't necessarily, maybe it's different now, and apparently last year it was a bit different, especially with Duncan Keith. But in the past, there were guys that just maybe weren't necessarily guys that you could find after a loss, and they weren't. And that is important, you know, when you're a guy. But I would say, hopefully, the guys in that locker room don't take Corey Crawford for granted in that respect, because that'll weigh on you when you're one of four or five guys that are standing up in the locker room after a loss. And, you know, remember in the days when it was, you know, the Blackhawks were bad, you know, recent days when they were bad, you know, a guy like Marty Lapointe was the guy that always had to be there, you know, after the game. And it's like, well, Marty Lapointe was a third and fourth line player for the Hawks, but he was the guy that was standing up after the game. And, you know, the guys that were really affecting the game night in and night out, win or lose, didn't have much to say or were hiding after a bad game. And, you know, I think that that's one of Corey's best attributes is having that ability to, and you know, just speaking from personal experience in Rockford, Carter Hutton had that too. You know, Carter Hutton is, you know, like sometimes when I'm asking these guys questions, like I know that there's a certain way to ask a guy a question without being, you know, being too abrasive, and they appreciate that. Like I remember, it wasn't me, but last year someone asked Brett Lebda like directly about his plus minus, and Brett Lebda from that point forward really didn't want to talk to that person. I asked Brett Lebda basically the same question. I just worded it differently, and he was fine with it. But it's important that everybody in the room shares that load, because it can be taxing, you know, when you look around the room and, you know, you're the only one standing up after losses. So I think it's an important thing to point out, and I do want to give Corey Crawford credit for that. It's not like when I talked about his contract, like I say, we got a couple of emails about that. It wasn't like when I was talking about his contract, I was trying to say Corey Crawford isn't any good, you know, because some people were, you know, citing his numbers and stuff like last season and the season, you know. It's like I wasn't saying he's any good. The point was, in the modern day era, to have a guy, a goaltender, who, you know, isn't Patrick Waugh, you know, or doesn't have the resume of a guy like Waugh, Brodeur, or what have you, and you lock this guy down for 7 years at you know, a contract like that, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Or it goes against the grain of what the conventional wisdom is now, and you know, we don't have to look too far or too hard to see that, you know, that becomes a huge distraction on a team, you know, if you've got a $6 million goalie that can't, you know, start for you every night. So, I don't know. That's that. Do you have another one, or are we going to move on?
Real quick, obviously, with today being the 12th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, another one that jumped off the page was kind of, you know, obviously you want to remember everyone involved, everyone who perished that day. But, you know, hockey did lose two, and that was Mark Davis and Garnet Ace Bailey. And I know that Davis actually coached here in Chicago for the Freeze for a while, so there was a little Chicago connection to that. But obviously wanted to mention those two guys amongst, you know, everyone that was involved 12 years ago today.
All right. That's 8:34 here. Let's move on to emails. You have anything else you want to add before we do that? Because I got to pull them off, first of all.
No. I mean, emails would work here. What did you think, while you're doing that, what did you think of the Blackhawks extending Stan Bowman 2 years today? Or was it yesterday?
It was announced Wednesday morning. And, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I guess I didn't really think about it. You know, I hadn't really sat down and put all the years together. But once I saw that today and I kind of thought about it, it's like, yeah, it's, you know, the Blackhawks wouldn't have Joe Quenneville having a contract longer than the GM. I mean, that's not going to happen. So in hindsight, it should have been expected, but it wasn't something I was thinking about. But, well, I should also point out, I wrote about it yesterday. Hold on just a second. I wrote about it yesterday on thethirdmanin.com, but sad news to report, Blackhawks star of the late 70s and in the early to mid-80s, Tom Lysiak, who was diagnosed with cancer back in May, got some bad news on Tuesday when doctors are trying to find a bone marrow match to hopefully fight off Lysiak's cancer. And they had thought that his daughter, Jessie, would be a suitable enough match to be a bone marrow donor. And, you know, she's been, you know, going through the process all summer, basically. I think it was on, I don't know, the beginning or middle of June that she began testing for it. And she found out yesterday, about eight or 9 days before she was supposed to have the procedure, that doctors no longer consider her a match, that it wouldn't be wise, I guess, to go in that direction. So that's certainly a blow, because it wasn't like she was the only avenue they explored, and they have explored. So, you know, hopefully that situation gets worked out. And they find a bone marrow donor for him, because it doesn't sound like it's good. So, and you know, you can go up on thethirdmanin.com, not for me, but if you want to read up on Tom Lysiak and read a story about what's going on there in more detail, go up to thethirdmanin.com. The story's up there. Don't go up there to read it for me. Go read it for him. But there's. That's that. I really don't know much more than what I wrote in the article. I did not. I reached out to Steve Luzzik because I just found out about. I knew about the cancer. It would have been in late July, because it was the trip where we were in Wisconsin. You and I, Superstar, we were camping. And I found out about it then, and I came back, and I sort of, you know, but all I really knew was, you know, that it, you know, it was where it was, and you know, it didn't strike me really. I wasn't writing at the time. I'm sure if I was writing every day, I would have wrote about it. But, and then yesterday, I looked into it, and lo and behold, there was a development. So, it's kind of a weird coincidence, but. I reached out to Steve Luzzik yesterday. He may be on vacation because he hasn't got back to me. But so that's really the. I mean, I don't know too much more than what I wrote, when I just put it that way. All right, let's get to the emails. Here we go. Hey Chris, 2000. This is about Dale Talon's drafting. Again, now that we can consider 2008 first-round draft pick Kyle Beach a bust, at what point can we begin considering 2009 first-round draft pick Dylan Olsen a terminal disappointment? This is from Kirk. I don't think it. You know, what would be awesome? And I'm not saying that I don't care one way or another, but what would be awesome is if Kyle Beach scored 45 goals in the exhibition season and made the Blackhawks. That would be great. I would love that. I mean, it's not going to happen, but I don't know. It would be great to see, because you know we've talked about Kyle enough on the show. But as far as Dylan Olsen goes, I don't think you can consider him a bust or anything. And you know, I've corresponded with other people in the past couple of weeks about Dylan Olsen too, and I definitely think that there's probably. I mean, there are definitely tempered expectations now, you know, and I believe even today, you talked to Joe Quenneville in his press conference at the start of training camp today, talked about how he considered that the Blackhawks currently have 10 defensemen that could play regular minutes or play minutes for him in the NHL. And, of course, the seven that he had last year who are all back. And then the other three he named were the two unrestricted free agents that he picked up that are guys that are going to play in Rockford that are, you know, barring injury, Michael Koska, who's a right-handed shooting, older, better Sean Lalonde, and much better Sean Lalonde, and Theo Pekham, you know, left-handed shot, big bruising type of guy, stay at home, character kid, mid-20s. So, you know, he named those two. And then the third guy he named was Adam Clendenning, which was funny because, I mean, Clendenning could skate in the NHL today, but I don't think that you can expect him. And again, I haven't seen, you know, how much, if he's improved over the summer. So maybe it's me jumping the gun to say this, but I don't think that he's NHL ready just yet. And I think the organization believes that, but he named Adam Clendenning over Ryan Stanton and Dylan Olsen. And I guess I was pretty shocked that he left Stanton off. But I guess that's the politics of it. I mean, they've got a guy in Clendenning that they're very high on, and Stanton is a role player, you know, at the NHL at best. So I don't know. But the point is that Dylan Olsen, there's tempered expectations on Olsen. I think that it's important. I think it's really important that Dylan comes in this year with a clean slate, a clear head, and approaches the season differently than he has before. I mean, there's been kind of, you know, I mean, he's a young guy that's learning the ropes, so to speak. But Dylan and, you know, there have been other guys, too, that have kind of fallen into this thing where it's like they're not getting a fair shake. And they, you know, they've done this and they've accomplished this and they played games in the NHL and other guys are playing, you know, higher up in the rotation than them. And it's not fair, you know, or maybe they don't say that directly, but people around them say it. He can't have that attitude. And I'm not saying that that's the issue with Dylan, but because I don't think that that's primarily the issue at all. But I think it's important that he comes in with a clean slate. I think it's to his benefit that Sean Lalonde's not around anymore, and in a few different ways. And I do think, you know, the Kyle Beach thing, I would say that when I'm thinking about that question, I would say that I look at this season for Dylan Olsen a lot like I looked at the 2011-12 season for Kyle Beach. Kyle Beach had, much like Deneau and Mark McNeil, had, you know, a couple of brief introductions to pro hockey before he actually became a full-time AHL player. And his rookie season came, I mean, it was the third season that he had actually spent any kind of time in a Rockford Icehawks uniform. So people didn't really think of him as a rookie, definitely in some respects, some writers and stuff, but he was, and he didn't have the greatest year. It was okay, but it was really important for him to kind of had a strong year too, and he came out of the gate, and he was doing that pretty well, and then he had the shoulder injury that wiped out basically the rest of his sophomore season, and you know he didn't really, you know, the NHL lockout happened and stuff. I mean, point is, I look at the season for Dylan Olsen. This is all important. If he's going to have a future with the Blackhawks, he's got to make it happen this year. And you know, we'll see if it happens. I hope it does for him. I like Dylan Olsen. I think he's got a lot to offer. I think there's more there than he's shown. And you know, I've liked him for a long time. Obviously, I don't want to be wrong about him, but I'm not going to say that I don't have tempered expectations now either, because I do. But it's there for him. I mean, he's just got to become a man, step up, and take what's there to be taken. That's what Dylan Olsen has to do. And if he can do that, then I think he will get back up in the good graces of the organization and be back in the NHL before long. But he's got to do that. And so that's kind of where that goes. All right, Chris, I really enjoy the Third Man In Radio broadcast, more so when you stick to the hockey-related subjects. Now, now wait a minute. You know, we've had that show, we didn't talk about this last week, but that show that we did over the summer, like I got, it was two completely different dynamics. Either people loved the show, or they absolutely hated it because I spent the first half hour talking about the Pearl Jam concert. So, you know, it's summertime. If you expect it, I mean, I don't know. I guess people do expect me to talk. Does Hockey Night get these emails too? Like hockey, I listen to Hockey Night. They'll go on for 2 hours and mention hockey for like 10 minutes. Do they get these criticisms? Actually, I'll tell you this. For everybody complaining about the shows that are short on Blackhawks Talk, well, get ready, because in November I'm going on tour with Pearl Jam and I'm doing a remote. So get ready for that show when we talk almost strictly being on the road with Pearl Jam. That's going on in November. So I'll have all the hate mail directed towards you, Superstar.
Awesome.
Going on
there's
the West Coast.
There's enough of that, I'm sure. Already.
Okay. But nonetheless, your observations regarding the Rockford players are much appreciated. There's a lot here. We're not going to be able to go over it all. This actually, I really like this part of his email. Also, it would be nice to hear you divide the prospects into two camps. On one side, who are the guys you feel certain will have an NHL career? Hilu Teravainen, Philip Deneau, Clendenning. It seems that guys like McNeil, Nordstrom, Dahlbeck are all talked about, but could easily wind up being fringe players that don't ever really establish themselves as NHL players. While a few guys we have, we know are going to the NHL for sure. Are there more than the three guys I named? And that's Mike. This is a really good question as far as dividing these guys into two camps. This is a great idea for an article that I just gave somebody else. Well, I, as far as guys that I'm certain that are going to have NHL careers, it's really tough to say because, you know, I've been high on Philip Deneau, and a lot of people have jumped on that bandwagon. But I'll say this: if his offensive game doesn't translate to the pros, which we don't know yet. Okay, we don't know that. We can project that it will, but we don't know that. Seems to be pretty good in the face-off circle. That's great. He's terrific on, you know, in a forechecking role on the puck. You know, he shows great instincts, and tremendous tenacity, and he hounds the puck so well. Okay, but if he doesn't show a scoring game in the, you know, in the pros, and he can't limit his penalties, he takes a lot of stick penalties when he's forechecking, and when he gets caught in, you know, in transition, he tries to backcheck. He takes a lot of stick penalties. If he can't, if those two things happen, if he takes penalties and he can't get the offensive game going at the next level, which we just don't know yet, then he's not going to be a significant NHL player. And again, we just don't know. But I would put him, just my gut, and you know, I would put him in that category, in the NHL career category, despite of what I was just saying. I would put Mark McNeil in the B category, which are, you know, right now, again, only on what I've seen, and this is a little bit unfair, but the thing that worries me about Mark McNeil, and the thing that I believe that it's going to take him longer, and people may get frustrated with him, is that while he put up very impressive numbers in the Western Hockey League, he didn't play in meaningful games. So I wonder if the transition for him, and the reason why I say this is because watching him in the AHL the past two seasons, he really didn't do anything to excite me. I mean, you can tell that he's got a shot, but does he know how to get it off? You know, especially when you know, he's in tight or in pressure. I mean, you didn't see that stuff from it. And again, it's only a handful of games over two seasons, but you know, and it's his sort of trial period into the pro level. But I wonder with him. Clendenning's going to be a pro. I mean, he's going to be an NHL player for sure. It's just going to it just need to take a little time with him. Just be patient. You know, if it was any other organization, you may want to press him in, you know, too soon. I think that would be a mistake. The Blackhawks are going to have one heck of a power play, you would think, in a couple of years with Clendenning managing one unit and whoever you want to manage the other, you know, with the kind of talent that the Blackhawks have. Trying to think who else. Superstar, you're supposed to help me here.
Yeah, not a lot of help with that Rockford thing.
Brandon Peary will have an NHL career. I don't know where it'll be, but he'll have one. Jeremy Morin, too. I really believe in Jeremy Morin. I mean, last year, Morin really, he sold me last year. I really believe in him now. You know, he's not perfect, but, you know, he won't have to be. And, obviously I'm, you know, the thing with Ben Smith is just, can he stay healthy? If he can stay healthy, he's going to have a nice little Bob Bassin like NHL career, for a 1980s Blackhawks reference. Eighties and briefly in the '90s, correct?
I believe so.
Has to be.
Oh.
Got another email here. I'm not going to read it because it's so long. But again, it's again about Dale Tallon versus Stan Bowman's drafting. And let me go do your, everyone do themselves a favor. Okay. Go and look at the 2010 Blackhawks draft. Okay. First overall, Kevin Hayes. so far in 3 years at Boston College, all he's known for is getting wasted and being naked and taking a shit in a bag in a hallway. Their second round pick, their first second round pick, Ludwig Rensfeld, got let go from the organization last year. Just released his rights outright. That's their second round pick. The 35th guy taken in the draft in 2010. And 2 years later, they just let him go. Justin Hole, who was drafted as a defenseman in the second round, doesn't even play defense at the University of Minnesota anymore. I mean, he may this year, but he didn't last year. Kent Simpson, you know, he's either playing goalie this year in Rockford or Toledo. And, you know, he's a goalie, so we'll see. Stephen Johns can't make up his mind where he wants to play. He seems to really like the attention. Kind of a diva. Love him as a player, but we'll see how that works out. Should be pretty good. Actually, that was another thing I want to bring up. Mark Kelly, in an article with NHL.com, said that Stephen Johns could step right into the NHL when his NCAA career ends this coming spring. We'll see about that. Next pick, Joakim Nordstrom. I like Nordstrom. I think that he's actually a guy that I'm really going to watch pretty intently this year. I like him. He's a nice little player. Rob Flick, he's gone. Then the German kid, Hoffman, he's gone. Nick Mattsson, he's gone. And then Matt Caruth. That's your 2010 draft. As bad as 08 was, Beach, Ballon, Keegan Zahn, Jonathan Carlson, the guy that if my favorite Jonathan Carlson memory was at the prospect camp in 2009. Prospect camp 2009 at Johnny's Ice House. Jonathan Carlson, they were doing a drill, and Jonathan Carlson, it was the first day, they didn't do scrimmages. He hid in the middle of the center ice where everybody was congregating. He hid in the middle and didn't do a drill. Ben Smith, Braden Birch, who graduated college this year, Blackhawks didn't sign him. And then Joe Gleason, who's kind of hanging around, may get a minor league deal. But Joe Gleason is also a 5'8 defenseman. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it's, you know, you're in that range now where you can start grade, you know, 2010. You can grade that draft, just begin to. And that draft ain't so good. That's Stan Bowman's draft. All right, a couple more here before we go. I'll respond to these personally. Chris, in the past few years, we've seen guys like Andrew Shaw come out of nowhere and join the Blackhawks, seemingly not being mentioned at all in the training camp, and then by midseason, all of a sudden they're making contributions to the Blackhawks. Are there any, or if there are, who do you see as potential 2013 versions of Andrew Shaw? He goes on to mention Garrett Ross. We'll see about Garrett Ross. I mean, the thing about Garrett Ross is he plays a lot like Andrew Shaw. I don't know, like, you know, out of nowhere, Ross exploded as a 20-year-old offensively in the Ontario Hockey League, but you know, I don't know how that's going to translate or if it will at all. He was an overager in the junior league, playing a lot of minutes with top guys. you know, which he hadn't really done before. I don't see Garrett Ross getting top, you know, getting a lot of minutes with top guys in the AHL. So I don't look for him to have that kind of offense. But I don't know. It's kind of hard. A surprise guy, I mentioned him, Nordstrom. You know, I mean, he's a kid. What surprised me, I remember when he came over last year, he flew over, I want to say, on a Wednesday. He got to he flew into Chicago, and the IceHogs were playing at Allstate Arena that night, and Barry Smith picked him up at the airport and brought him to the game. And the thing that struck me immediately about Nordstrom was how tall he was. You know, I mean, these Swedish guys, I don't know what the, I don't know if it's you know, us Americans, you know, we can't get the conversion right or whatever, but like Klaus Dahlbeck, when he came over, was listed at like 6'1 or 6'2. Klaus Dahlbeck is 6'4, and he's an ox. I mean, that dude's big. I mean, he can't do anything offensively, but he's a big, solid man. And Nordstrom is a lot taller. I think he, well, now they have him listed at 6'2, and that may be more accurate. But he's got good size. He's pretty slender. But he's got good size, and I mean, everything that I'm told about him is he's a really smart player. You're not going to get a lot of offense out of him, but he plays a sound, you know, a responsible, sound game. Like he's got a good mind for the game, and he's very responsible. And you know, when I read that question, that was the name that immediately popped up to my head, and it was just like 2 years ago. I mean, you know, the break for Andrew Shaw came when, you know, I mentioned before with Kyle Beach, when Kyle Beach got injured. That was the break that Andrew Shaw needed, because before Beach got injured, Shaw was a fourth liner. He was playing some center, he's playing some wing, and then Beach got injured, and that opened up a spot. And then, you know, through some line juggling there for a little while, Ted Dent trying to figure out what to do with his lineup, he wound up on Andrew Shaw wound up on Brandon Peary's line, and that line just got red hot. And then by Christmas, Andrew Shaw was probably the biggest reason why Brandon Peary was going so, no doubt, he was the biggest reason at the time why Brandon Peary was going so well, and that's how Andrew Shaw got signed. I could see Nordstrom getting a lot of minutes in Rockford, just being – I mean, he played – I know that he played wing in that prospect tournament. So if he's going to play wing, I could see him playing wing – like you probably have Brad Mills on one line with two more offensive – Anything, we got more here, but I want to keep going, but I have to go to bed.
Let's ease into it, man.
You know that scene in Step Brothers when John C. Reilly is reading in bed and he looks over and it's 8:38 or whatever it was? Remember that scene in Step Brothers?
Yeah, yeah.
That was, not last night. I only got 2.5 hours of sleep last night. But that was me the other night. I was laying in bed reading, and I looked over and it was like 10:15, and I'm like, I cannot believe I'm going to bed right now.
You definitely stay up way later than normal America.
Usually I go to bed about 2-ish, and then I get up 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, but you know now that I got to get up at 3, it's like my body's not used to that, so I have to go to bed earlier. Like when you're used to your body gets used to waking up at a certain time. So, and your mind too. Like when the alarm goes off and you look over and it's like, oh shit, it's 6 o'clock. It's like, okay, you can get up. But when all of a sudden you wake up, you look at the clock, it's 3, your mind's like, screw this.
Yeah.
So it's not like I can go to bed at 1 and get up at 3. It's not going to work that way. All right. I know I'm forgetting to do something.
Plug your website?
Sure, I'll do that. TheThirdManIn.com, PuckChatter.com, BlogTalkRadio.com/TheThirdManIn. Those are the places you can find us. Also on iTunes, if you're into that thing. And there's one other thing I was forgetting to do. Oh, I know what it is. For those of you that can't get enough audio, a friend of the program, tonight it actually may be going on as we speak. I don't know. I can't. It's at utnsports.com. Friend of the program, Shannon Coyne. It's the S&M Sports Show, Shannon and Molly. It starts tonight over at utnsports.com/podcast. And you can listen to their show there. I think their tagline is they like it rough. So tune into that.
Our listenership just dropped through the rocks. just falling like a boulder off a cliff.
We're going to have to get off Wednesday night to start earlier. We're probably going to have Shannon and or Molly on the show sometime soon. They're big. I wouldn't promote this unless they were big, big, big hockey fans. And they are. So check that out, utnsports.com, the S&M Sports Show, Shannon and Holly Sports Show. And you can follow them on Twitter, but I don't know where. You can figure it out. Listen to their show. I'm sure they'll tell you. They promote the stuff they do. All right, Superstar, I think that's it.
All right, buddy, go get some sleep.
All right, everybody, we'll be back next week, Monday. We have to do Monday. And it'll be a preview of the first Blackhawks preseason game. I cannot believe I'm going to be at the United Center in 6 days. Whew. That's crazy. Blackhawks and the Detroit Red Wings. But we'll do a show on Monday next week and maybe have a guest. We're efforting. But anyway. That's it. I feel good about it. Say goodbye to the people, Superstar.
Goodbye, people.
All right, good night, everybody. She asked me to stay and she told me to sit anywhere. Thank you.
They close it. Yeah. I want to échanger. Bernard, call Detroit, tell them bullshit. Yeah. Something. Now, wait a minute. Ned, what's this one?
Trade me right fucking now.
Trade me right fucking now. You push
the button, now hang up.
Are we finished?
Oh, when is the trial?
Trial? You can't eat those guys. They're folk heroes.
They're criminals.
Well, most folk heroes started out as criminals.
Sergeant,